If you have your Bible this morning and you want to share the reading of some scripture with me and what the Lord has placed upon my heart today, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. And I want to begin reading with verse number 14. So 2 Kings chapter 13 and beginning with the 14th verse. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning with verse 14, "Now Elisha was fallen sick, and of his sickness whereof he died." Many theologians believe that it was just simply old age. "And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face. And King Joash said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto the king, Take bow and arrows. And the king took unto him his bow and his arrows. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon thy bow. And the king put his hand upon it." Whew. Wow. "And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And Elisha said unto the king, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And as the arrow left the king's bow, Elisha, the man of God, said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And then the man of God said to the king, Now take your arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite the ground. And he smote three times, and stayed. And the man of God was angry. The man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5-6 times. Then you would have smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed them. But now, thou shalt smite Syria but 3 times. Bow your heads, if you will, please. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, I pray you have your way here in this place this morning. I pray for the divine unction of the Holy Spirit. I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would use me as an instrument in the hand of the Lord. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you will help me to impart what you have placed upon my heart and within my spirit. Let everything that is said and everything that is done be done to glorify Christ and to edify the people of God. In my own ability, I am inadequate. But if you will touch me and if you will anoint me, if you will bless me to be a blessing, then we will be blessed indeed. For all of these things we ask and we pray, and we thank you for them now in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Strike the Ground. Strike the Ground. The text that we have read is somewhat of an obscure setting of Scripture for many of us. It is a setting of Scripture that transpired in the final days in the life of one of the greatest men that ever walked in the office of a prophet, the man Elisha. This story that is before us teaches us the importance of resilience and perseverance. This story teaches us the necessity of diligence and fervor. It teaches us the essential need for spiritual passion and persistence. It teaches us that there is often, listen to this, there is often a direct connection between our actions and God's response. It teaches us that there is often a direct connection or a direct correlated action with God's response to us. In other words, God's response is often directly correlated to our actions. And I know what you must be thinking. Pastor Gary, God is sovereign. What do you mean that God's response is often directly correlated with our actions? God is capable of doing absolutely anything that he wants to do, anytime that he wants to do it, anywhere, any way, anyhow. God is God, and God doesn't need us to do anything that he desires to do. God is absolutely sovereign. And I will tell you this morning that you are absolutely right. God is sovereign. And yes, he can do anything that he wants to do, anytime that he wants to do it, anywhere that he wants to do it, any way that he wants to do it. So you're right. But so am I. There are times when God's response is directly correlated with our actions. Let me give you several examples of such in the Scripture. You will find in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 the words of Jesus. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. In other words, there is a direct response with our actions. Understand that Jesus is saying that if we refuse to do our part, then we cut ourselves off from God being able to do his part. Yes, it is true that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if we do not forgive others, then God's response, amen, to us because of our actions is that we forfeit our own deliverance and we forfeit our own forgiveness. So God's response is directly connected with our initial actions. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. This is what the Bible says. Give. That's our part. That's our action. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's God's response. If we don't give, God's not obligated to respond. Hello? Give. That's our part. That's our action. But if we give, God's response is, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give unto your bosom. Jesus said, for with the same measure you give, that's our action, with all it shall be measured to you again. That's God's response. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You understand what I'm saying? There is a corresponding response from God, amen, and it is all initiated by our actions. Let me give you one more. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 66 and verse number 18. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that's my action. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that's my action. The Lord will not hear me. He won't hear my prayer. That's God's response. If I regard iniquity, if I coddle sin in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, my actions will, amen, cause God to turn his ear away from my prayer. So understand here again, God's response is directly connected and dictated by my actions, by your actions. And our text this morning reveals that there are some defining moments in our lives that will determine how that God responds to our need and the situations in our life. There are some defining moments that our actions are going to determine how God responds. The story that is our text teaches us that Joash, the king of Israel, forfeited his own victory because of his feeble actions. Or because of his half-hearted actions. He forfeited his own victory because of a lack of passion and a lack of persistence. Let me give you some historical background concerning the text that we've read this morning. Elisha, first of all, Elisha, the great prophet of God, his name means God is salvation. Elisha, the recipient of the double portion anointing that rested upon his mentor, Elijah. Elisha, the young man whom the Bible says, and I quote, poured water on the hands of Elijah, meaning that he was Elijah's understudy. He was Elijah's understudy. He was just a young man when he was called, and now for many years he has walked in the office of the prophet, and now he is about to pass from this world into eternity. He is laying upon his deathbed. He has faithfully served as a prophet for the nation of Israel for years, and through his ministry, amen, to the children of Israel, time and time again, God has brought deliverance through his ministry and by his relationship with God. God has down through the years done incredible and miraculous miracles through the hand of the prophet. Widows have been sustained by the oil in the cruse and the meal in the barrel. Widows have received their dead back from the dead. Military armies have been defeated simply because Elisha waved his hand and said, Lord, strike them with blindness. I'm talking about some miraculous thing. Amen. The waters of Jericho were bitter and unusable, and Elisha told them what to do, and God healed the water. I mean, time and time and time again, God has shown himself mighty by the hand of this prophet. Through his life and through his ministry, the power of God has clearly been up on display, and now he is an elderly man, and he is laying upon his deathbed, and he is about to cross from this world into the next. And that's where our text comes in. The Bible says in the 14th verse, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto Elisha and wept over his face. And he said specifically, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that same symmetry? Where have we heard that same setting of scripture? Where have we heard those same words? My Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. I find it an interesting phrase, and I also find it very interesting that it was the same words that Elisha used when he was a younger man, when Elijah got ready to be taken up in a whirlwind. You remember the story. Elisha follows Elijah from Jericho to Gilgal and on and on and on. Amen. And he just would not leave the prophet alone. And finally, Elijah says, "What do you want from me?" And Elisha tells him, "I want a double portion of the anointing of God that rests upon your life." Elisha said, "You have asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I go, it will be yours." They walk down to the Jordan River and Elijah slaps the water with his mantle and the water parts. And the two of them go across on dry ground. And all of a sudden as they are walking, the Bible said that a chariot of fire, a whirlwind swept Elijah up. And he began to be carried away into the heavens. And Elisha saw it. And he said these same words, my Father, amen, and the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah dropped his mantle back down to the earth. And Elisha picked it up, watched him go out of sight, walked back to the Jordan River and slapped the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Amen. And God parted the waters and he went across on dry ground himself. God was revealing in that moment that the man that had walked in the office of prophet may now be gone, but God is still here. We come to this setting of scripture and, amen, and here is Elisha old and feeble and laying upon his deathbed, and the king comes to him and says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But what does it mean? What does that mean? It's an odd statement. What does it mean? Figuratively, King Joash was saying that the prophetic ministry that Elijah had walked in was worth more than all of the horses and the chariots and the military might of the nation of Israel. He was saying that figuratively, he was saying that the power and the anointing that had rested upon the life of Elisha was a greater defense and a more effective defense than all of the military power of the horses and the chariots, amen, that the Israeli army could muster. The king, as we will soon discover, was an ungodly man, but he had a reverence and he had a respect for the man of God and for the power and the anointing of God that rested upon his life. He comes to him weeping and crying. In the Hebrew, the word is bayak. And it means literally he came to him weeping and wailing and lamentating over him, mourning him. And I when God began to put this on my heart, you know, my first question was, why such great sorrow? Why such despair? We don't read where the king and the prophet were very close. We don't read where they were fond of one another or where they were great companions. So why the great weeping and why the great lamenting and why the great mourning and the grief and the sorrow? And the answer is this. The king was beside himself with grief because he realized he was an ungodly man. He was an ungodly king. As a matter of fact, you can read his obituary in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse number 11. This is his obituary. "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, but he walked in the ways of their sin. So understand that he is a very ungodly man. And the answer to why such weeping and why such lamenting is this. He realizes that the anointing and the power that had rested upon Elijah was the only thing that had kept the nation of Israel free and had kept the nation of Israel from falling into the hands of the enemy. He realized that this man that walked in the anointing and in the power of God was stronger in might by the power of the Spirit than all of the armies of Israel. And now this man, his only connection with God, is about to leave this world. To whom now will he turn for help when help is needed? To whom now will he turn when the enemy comes in like a flood? To whom now shall he turn? Can he lean upon the arm of his own flesh? Can he lean upon the arm of his own strength? Can he lean upon the armies of Israel? Amen. And trust in those things. Can he lean upon the horses and the chariots and the military might? Will they be able to save the people and keep the people free? And the answer was no. Their only hope was in God. And let me just share with you this morning that at the moment that all of this is transpiring, Israel is faced with war against Syria. So the king looks out and about and he sees that the Syrian armies are preparing to do battle with Israel. And he realizes that my only connection with God is this man of God. My only connection with God is this prophet. And he weeps over him and laments over him because this man who had represented to him the very presence of God is slipping away from the earth, and he mourns for it. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And God sees this whole scene as it unfolds and as it unwinds. And God hears the king's words. And God has mercy upon the king and upon the nation of Israel. Even though he was an ungodly man, God has mercy upon him. And the Spirit of God began to move upon the prophet. In verse 15, Elisha feels the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he says to the king, take your bow and your arrows. I can see the scene almost unfolding in my mind this morning. Take your bow and your arrows and get ready to launch an arrow out the window. Open the window. Open the eastward window. Now that takes a moment for me to explain, because in ancient times, when one nation would begin to prepare to go to battle and they would declare war upon another nation, a representative of the king, a general or someone that was close to the king, or even the king himself, would walk to the border of the next nation that he was about to declare war on, and he would shoot an arrow into their country or throw a spear into their country and declare, I wage war against you. And then he would state the reasons for which he was declaring war. He would state the reasons for which he was declaring war. Amen. So the prophet says to the man of, or to the king, the man of God says to the king, he says, I want you to take your bow and I want you to point it toward the east window. Open the window and point it toward Syria. And the king obeys the man of God. And the Bible said that the man of God took his old and feeble hands, and he placed them upon the hands of the king. When Elisha laid his hands upon the king's hands, the king should have understood that there was a prophetic word. This was not just an act. This was not just something that the feeble man of God wanted to do. But this had to be a God thing. Elisha places his hands upon the king's hands and he says, "Now shoot." And Elisha watches that arrow leave the king's bow. And when the arrow left the king's bow, the man of God is moved by the Spirit of God. And he says, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." King, if you didn't understand that there was something spiritual and symbolically happening right here, then maybe you will get this. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. The king should have understood that this was a prophetic moment. This was a God thing. This was God declaring, "I'm about to get involved in your problem. I'm about to declare war on your enemy." The king should have grasped the magnitude of the situation. He should have understood that something spiritual was taking place. God was using the man of God one more time to bring deliverance to the nation of Israel. But what the king did not understand is that his actions were about to determine God's response. He didn't get the fact that his actions were about to determine what God did next. Elisha says to him, "Shoot your bow, shoot your arrow into the nation that you are declaring war against." And when Elijah took him by the hand, he prophetically uttered, "God is about to get involved. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. In essence, God was saying, "Declare war upon your enemy and I will give you the victory. Declare war upon your enemy and I will give you the victory." When the arrow left the king's bow, amen, Elisha declares, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. God is about to give you the victory over your adversary. God is about to give you the victory over all of those that are coming against you. Have faith in God. Believe God. Trust in the arm of the Lord. And he will see you through." And then the king was instructed to do a second thing. We read it there in verse 18. The arrow leaves. Symbolically, he has declared war. God's arrow of deliverance has flown through the window. God has spoken a word and said, "I'm about to give you the victory. I'm declaring war. The battle's not yours, but the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm about to give you the victory. Trust in me." And then the prophet says to him, as the arrow flies out the window, "Now take the rest of your arrows. Take your arrows and strike or smite the ground. Strike the ground. Strike the ground. Strike it like you mean it. Strike the ground." And the king takes the remainder of his arrows. And what he doesn't realize is that he's about to receive a response from God according to his actions. He smites the ground three times and then stops. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "Why? Why did you stop? Why did you smite just three times? You should have smitten five, six. You should have broken the arrows on the ground, beating on the ground. Then you would have destroyed Syria. But now, because of your half-hearted attitude and because of your, amen, half-hearted spirit, now you will only smite them three times. You'll win a couple of battles, but you ain't gonna win the war." Hello? Elisha makes it clear that there's a connection between the shooting of the arrows toward the east and the, amen, and the strike against the Syrians would be the deliverance of the Lord. He makes it clear to Joash that shooting the arrow was a symbolic spiritual act defeating the enemy. And so Joash the king should have known, would have known, that the second instruction to strike the ground was a continuation of the same symbolical message. And instead of smiting the ground and beating the ground with the arrows, he strikes three times, and then he leaves off striking. This past week, the Holy Spirit began to burn in my heart concerning this text. Because I want you to understand this morning, amen, what God has placed upon my spirit. There is a word, there is a revelation for each one of us here this morning. Amen. The story is a prophetic picture for us today. Elisha clearly, amen, asks Joash to do something that models prayer. Amen. Elisha clearly asks Joash to do something that is a clear example of beating, amen, the ground in prayer with the Lord. God wants us to learn to passionately persevere in our prayer life and to strike the ground with persistence, amen, and strike the ground, amen, declare war upon our enemy and then smite the ground until the victory is won. Elisha is angry with him because he stopped. If he would have persevered, he would have prevailed in total victory. But he struck the ground half-heartedly and unmotivated. Instead, he struck the ground in an indifferent and lackadaisical manner. Instead, he struck the ground unenthused and unmotivated in his attitude toward the prophetic word of God. He knew that striking the ground was going to require effort. He knew that striking the ground was going to require an active faith upon his part. He knew that striking the ground was going to require a relentless trust in God. He knew that striking the ground was going to require a confidence and a conviction that God was going to give them the victory. And instead of going all out, he smote the ground three times and then he stopped. How many of us this morning are guilty of the same thing in our prayer life? We pray about something, and when the answer is not manifest immediately, we cease to pray about a thing. Hello? I want you to understand this morning that God desires for us to have complete and total victory in our lives. God desires for us to have complete and total victory in our life. But if we are going to achieve that, then we are going to have to follow through, amen, not just the first step, but the second step as well. Let me give you two things that the Holy Spirit burned into my spirit this last week. If we are going to have victory in our life, then the first thing that we need to do is we got to shoot our shot. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, shoot that shot. Take your shot. Take your shot. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means declare war on the enemy. It means to take your shot. It means to declare war upon the adversary. If we are ever going to be victorious in our life, we got to stand up and let all of hell know that we are tired of being pushed around. And we need to take our shot and declare war upon the adversary. Spirit of the Lord began to move upon my heart this past week. And he said to tell some of you here today, you need to declare war upon depression and anxiety. We need to declare war, amen, upon that secret sin that does so easily beset us. We need to declare war upon the sins of pride and lust and unbelief. We need to declare war and let the enemy know, you can't have my wife. You're not gonna rob me of my husband. You can't have my kids, and you can't have my grandchildren. I'm gonna take my shot and declare war against the enemy. Amen. The devil will just stand outside and beat his chest and try to intimidate as long as you just stand back with your bow and your arrows in your head. But if you'll shoot your shot, if you'll declare war on the enemy, God's word says the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Hey, I came to tell you, if you'll take your shot, God will back you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shoot your shot. Shoot the word of God at your adversary. How many of you know when Jesus was tempted of the devil, how did he defeat him? By saying, it is written. Shoot the arrow of God's word. Shoot the arrow of intercessory prayer. Shoot the arrow of godly living. Shoot the arrow of a spirit-filled, self-controlled life. Amen. After you have taken your shot, amen, don't just feel like that God's got it from here. If you shoot your shot, then you got to take it to the next level and you got to strike the ground. What you do next matters. What you do now matters. You got to take your shot and then you need to strike the ground. Strike the ground. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? Strike the ground of prayer with passion and devotion. Strike the ground of prayer with zeal and fervency. Don't stop with just two or three little, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep kind of prayers. No, I'm talking about, amen, praying until you know you've heard from heaven. The old saints used to call that praying through about the matter. I'm telling you, when you get on your knee bones, begin to pray and begin to intercede and begin to hear from heaven. And when you hear from heaven, you can get up out of that place of prayer with confidence, knowing that the God that you serve is on your side and he will give you the victory. Shoot your shot and then strike the ground. Strike the ground. Don't strike it half-heartedly. Strike it like you mean it. Strike it like you're going to war. The Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier. Strike it like you're going to war. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Amen. We are not in a game. We are in a battle. And the battle is for our soul. The battle is for our children. The enemy does not want you to have what God said you could have. But if you declare war on the adversary and you begin to strike the ground and begin to believe God, amen, for the miracle, God will see you through. Strike the ground and keep battling against sin. Strike the ground and keep believing God for the impossible. Strike the ground in prayer and keep praying for your children and your grandchildren. You know what was said about me? He's too far gone, but thank God somebody didn't quit praying for me. Thank God somebody didn't think I was too far gone for God to get a hold of. Amen. Some folks said he's too far out in sin. Thank God that somebody kept on pounding the ground and calling my name, and God brought me out. Strike the ground and keep fighting in prayer for your loved ones. Strike the ground and keep fighting for your marriage. Strike the ground and keep fighting, amen, for your victory. Tell the devil you can't have my joy. Tell the devil you can't have my peace of mind. Tell the enemy, amen, I ain't going down, I ain't turning around, and I ain't about to back down. In the name of Jesus, I declare war upon the adversary, and I'm going to strike the ground until God hears my cry. Strike the ground. Reach higher. Dig deeper. Strike the ground. I came to tell somebody this morning that what you do right now is going to determine what God does on your behalf. What you do right now is going to determine what God does on your behalf. What you do right now is going to determine God's response. If you won't have an answer, strike half-heartedly. You'll get your 3 victories and lose the war. Hello? What you do right now is going to determine your victory. What you do right now is going to determine whether you just win the battle or you win the war. Jesus said these words. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you're just going to strike the ground a couple of times and give up, so be it unto you. If you're going to strike the ground with a half-hearted effort, so be it unto you. If you're going to strike the ground and play a little church here and a little church there, then so be it unto you. But if you want complete victory, then keep on striking the ground. Hey, nobody said it was going to be easy, and nobody said that the victory was going to come without a fight, and nobody said that the enemy was just going to turn tail and run. But if you want complete victory, then keep pounding the ground in prayer and keep believing God for the impossible. Strike the ground. Keep pushing. Keep striving. Keep praying. Keep pounding. And don't give up. There is an old African saying, that says, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up and knows that it has to run faster than the fastest lion, or it will be eaten. And every morning, a lion awakens knowing that he's going to have to be swifter than the fastest gazelle, or he will starve to death. The old saying goes something like this: it doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you better be ready to run. Pastor Gary, what are you saying? I'm saying we are either going to take the fight to the enemy, or the enemy is going to bring the fight to us. You hear what I'm talking about? We are either going to chase, or we are going to be chased. We are going to run from or run at. We are either going to be the gazelle or the lion. We are either going to be overcome, or we are going to be the overcomer. Amen. And we get to make the choice. If you want to be an overcomer, then strike the ground. Let the enemy know I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. The arrow has been shot. War has been declared. And I'm in it for the long haul. Our actions are going to determine God's response. Let me give you a scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me give you amen, that same scripture in the God's Word translation. It says, from the time of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people seize it by force. In other words, amen, they keep on striking the ground. They keep on believing God. They keep up. War has been declared, but they keep on pounding the ground in prayer until the victory has been manifest. Amen. Persistence pays. What you do now will determine God's response. What you do now will determine God's response. Let me share you a couple of examples. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 15 that there was a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek. She comes following after Jesus, and she is crying out, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. My daughter is vexed with demonic spirit. Have mercy upon me. And Jesus didn't answer her a word. He just kept walking. She kept calling out to him. She kept crying out to him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't answer. He just kept walking. She just kept hollering. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. So much so that the text there in Matthew says that the disciples come up to Jesus and said, Lord, send her away because she cries after us. Send her away. She is making a spectacle of herself. People are looking. People are watching. Send her away. Make her go away. Tell her, leave us alone. She cries after us. And she finally comes and kneels down at the feet of the Lord and says, help me, Lord. My daughter is grievously vexed. And Jesus said to her, it's not right. It's not right for me to take the bread that's meant for the children and give it to the dogs. He called her a dog. That would have made me give up, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, he just seemed to be ignoring her might have, you know, made me give up. But he, even though he looked like he was ignoring her, she just kept calling out to him and calling out to him and calling out to him, calling out to him, comes to him and says, my daughter's grievously vexed, help me. And he goes, I can't do it. I can't give you bread that's intended for the kids. I can't give that to dogs. And you know what she said? She wouldn't give up. She said, it's true, Lord. The bread is intended for the children, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. I don't need a whole loaf. Just give me a crumb. You know what Jesus said to her? He said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as you have said. And that same hour, her daughter was healed. You know why her daughter was healed? Because she refused to give up. She kept on striking the ground. She kept on pounding the ground. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go, amen, until I get what I need. I'm not going to let you go until you answer my prayer. Let me give you another case, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus spake a parable unto his disciples unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. And Jesus said, there was a certain king in a certain city. He did not fear God and he did not fear man. And there was a widow woman that came to him and said, sir, judge, old buddy, old pal, That's not King James, by the way. Judge, I just want you to avenge me of my enemies. The judge said in essence to himself, look, I don't fear God, I don't fear men, and I'm not that fond of you, and I'm not going to avenge you of your enemy. So just go your way and leave. But you know what happened? The very next day she came back. Said, judge, I just want you to avenge me of my enemies. He said, I don't fear God, I don't fear man, and I'm not going to avenge you of your enemies. And you know what happened? The very next day, she came right back in. Judge, I just want you to avenge me of my... This is what the judge finally concluded. He said, you know, I know that I said I'm not a man that fears God and I don't fear men, but because of her continual coming, she is going to weary me if I don't give her what she wants. So even though I don't fear God and I don't fear men, I'm going to avenge that woman of her enemies just so I can keep her out of my hair. Jesus says in that sixth verse, do you hear what the unjust judge saith? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? What Jesus is saying is that when we cry day and night, it may take a while, but brother, God will answer our prayer. Keep on striking the ground. Keep on believing God. And keep on, amen, holding on to the faith. What's the lesson this morning? Shoot your shot. Declare war on whatever the enemy has brought into your life. Declare war on your adversary and then strike the ground, amen, in prayer until the answer comes. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't turn around. Don't back down. But push, amen, push. That means pray until something happens. Give me a couple of more little illustrations here and I'm going to close. How many of you know Elijah had to pray 7 times before the rain fell? You'll read the story over in Kings, 1 Kings. He has this great victory on Mount Carmel where he challenges all of the prophets of Baal. Fire comes out of heaven. The people turn to the Lord. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years at the word of Elijah. But when the people turned toward God, Elijah made a prophetic utterance and said, go tell the king that he better hurry up and get on his chariot and head out so that the rain does not stay him. What he was saying, he says, it's about to rain so hard that his chariot is going to bog down in the mud, so he better get going. And the Bible said that Elijah went to the top of the mountain and he began to pray for rain. And he came to his servant, said, do you see any rain? The servant said, none. Ain't a cloud in the sky. You've lost it, man of God. Elijah went back and prayed again. Came to the servant, said, do you see any rain? Nope, nothing. I don't see nothing. Nothing but blue sky. He went and prayed again. Came to him, do you see anything? No. Nope, I don't see nothing. The Bible said that he had to pray 7 times. And on the 7th time, he came to his servant and said, what do you see? He said, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's it. That's the answer right there. It's coming. It's coming. How many of you know Daniel had to pray for 21 days? Before he ever got the answer that he was seeking. What I'm saying this morning is pray. Strike the ground, pray. Don't be half-hearted. Don't smite the ground 2 or 3 times and then just give up. You'll win a few battles, but you won't win the war. You want to win the battle? Keep right on striking the ground. Keep right on believing God. God is looking for some overcomers. God is looking for those who will strike the ground in Jesus' name, knowing that if they will continue to strike, the battle can be won. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. God is looking for some men and women who will awaken, knowing that he lives and knowing that because he lives, nothing is impossible. If we will simply strike the ground in prayer, declare war upon your adversary this morning. Declare war upon your enemy this morning. And then what you do now is going to determine God's response. What you do now is going to determine God's response. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the anointing of the Lord that I felt as we ministered here this morning. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the truth of your word. Help us this morning not to just shoot the shot, but help us to continue until the victory comes. Help us to understand that your response is often dictated by our actions. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. I don't know what your people are going through, but I do know, Lord, that life itself lends battles and circumstances and trials and situations that arise. Help us this morning, Lord, to declare war, strike the ground in prayer, and receive the victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, the message was for me today? Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Hallelujah. How many of you here today would be willing to slip up your hand, not to me, but to God, and say, Lord, I'm shooting my shot. I'm taking my shot right now. I'm declaring war on the enemy. I'm declaring war on the enemy. I'm declaring war on the enemy that's trying to rob my children of a relationship with Christ. I'm declaring war right now. Amen. My marriage is my marriage. You take your hands off of it. I'm declaring war right now against the adversary. I'm declaring war right now against depression and anxiety. I declare war right now over sickness and over adversaries. Amen. That come to rob and steal and kill and to destroy. I declare war right now. I'm taking my shot. I'm taking my shot right now. Devil, you've had my health long enough. Enemy, you've had my peace of mind long enough. You've had my joy long enough. You've had my health long enough. You've held my emotions in your hand long enough. I'm coming after it now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'm not just going to take my shot, but I'm going to strike the ground until I get it. I'm not just going to take my shot and declare war. I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to pray it till I get it. I'm going to pray it until it manifests. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, I feel led of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you lifted your hand and said, I'm declaring war on a thing, I want you to get up out of your seat and come and stand right here in front of the house of God today. If you declared war on a thing, I want you to rise. Come up. Stand right here in the front. My. Woo. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Say, why, Pastor Gary? It's a universal sign of surrender. Say, Lord, I surrender to you, but I'm declaring war on the enemy. I'm going to take my shot, and I'm going to pray and strike the ground till I get what I need from God. Lord, you might as well just give it to me now, because I'm going to pester you night and day until I get what I need. Though you bear long, I'm going to keep on praying. Though you bear long, I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep my hand in your hand. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, these that have stepped forward and they have come before you here today, Lord, they have come in faith. They have come believing that you are God and that nothing is impossible with you. Right now, in Jesus' name, let the anointing that destroys every yoke, the anointing that breaks every chain, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not by my might, not by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost bring about deliverance right now. In Jesus' name, we strike the ground. In Jesus' name, we strike the ground. Lord, you said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We bind the works of the adversary, and we loose the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. If you believe it and you receive it, begin to rejoice in the Lord. Begin to magnify his name and begin to thank him for it now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Break every chain, Lord. Break every chain. Break every chain.